dragon, you gotta be strong. Humble, never bragging. Always fight for right, battling wrong. With the power of the dragon.
Never intentionally harm another. Do not battle if you can avoid it. You, Billy Lee, a Dragon Master now. Dragon Master was born
with the mark of the double dragon. Hello and welcome to the Tech Gaming Podcast, episode 10-1, the show that's so hot N4G had to downrank us to make sure we wouldn't overtake their own show. Speaking of hot, we got a scalding episode lined up for you with plenty of sizzling game impressions, some really searing game trivia. We got GPD lined up. Most importantly, we got our team of troublemakers, who include Eric Blue Swim. Say hello.
Hey, that's me. How you guys doing?
Don't.
Howdy. We also got Sage Semrage Morris Green, who's just came back from her acting role, where she was typecast in yet another cyberpunk role.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, nice deep voice. And last but not least, we got Sean Nola Kirkland.
Hey, I've been doing battle with last week's podcast all day, and there are large chunks of it that are missing. So 9-9 will come to you guys as maybe a bonus file at some point, or
not at
Easter
all.
Eggs. Well, no, what happened was, so we lost our connection a bunch of times during last week's show. Mm-hmm. And so it got split up into four separate files, mm-hmm. and in the middle of each of those files, somebody's audio cuts out. So there will be large chunks where just somebody isn't there, and mm-hmm. if it's, say, Deagle talking about a game he played, it's just a lot of the rest of us sitting there going, mm-hmm.
That's the way this show usually is.
Yeah, but without the actual game impression, so it's right. Just a,
It's like 4 minutes. Well, that sounds great. Yeah, that sounds like a great Easter egg. People are going to love that.
Well, the worst part is, so the subplot to last week's episode was Rob coming to terms with Jimmy Buffett.
No, it wasn't. I never.
Oh, no.
By the end of the show, you would come to terms with it. You made some of the best Jimmy Buffett jokes of the show. And the sad thing is the introduction to Jimmy Buffett is one of the things that got cut out. So we keep making callbacks to a joke that just doesn't exist.
we could put that back in. We could be like, so here's how we introduce the whole Jimmy Buffett thing.
No, if you got to explain the joke, no, we might just have to scrap it wholesale.
Yeah, but anyway, so we're sorry there's no 9-9, but we're in 10.1, or 10-1 now.
We should have blamed it on Mega Uploads, and it did get lost.
You know what we should blame it on is your hate for Jimmy Buffett. I think I'm going to make this episode about Jimmy Buffett, too, just to spite you.
Oh, great.
I nearly bought a Jimmy Buffett short stories book. Just to read excerpts of it on the show.
Fuck you, Blue. We're going to start questions on you. We're going to punish you this evening because of that. A Jimmy Buffett. Jesus. I could even...
There's like Tales from Margaritaville, a whole bunch of short stories or something like that. I figured I could at least get one or two entertainments
really?
Out of it.
That's what he titled his book.
Something like that.
God.
I mean, wait, this is a real book?
Oh, on that one.
Apparently so.
That's frightening, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Blue. Enough Jimmy Buffett chatter. Let's hear. What have you been playing?
Well, actually, just before we started recording, I was trying out the new Crackle app on Xbox Live. And Crackle, for those of you who do not know, is a video on demand streaming download type thing from Sony. And they already have a Space and Home on the PS3, and now they've launched an app on the Xbox 360. And I've been familiar with Crackle. I've watched videos on their website numerous times, but this is my first experience with it on a dedicated app or a dedicated platform or whatever. And I got to tell you, for starters, you don't have to sign up to use it. And that's one problem I have with, the Netflix trial thing. It's like they want your credit card number and shit like that. And, I mean, I don't, unless I know it's something I want, that I'm not just giving that info out. And so you don't have to sign up for anything.
Blue doesn't give it away for free.
Damn right. They better buy me dinner first. you download the app, and I mean, initially I downloaded it yesterday, but the servers have been kind of wonky. I think probably buckling under the pressure of like, oh, there's a new app with free videos. Download, and I'm going to assume they got overwhelmed because it was getting stuck on this authentication screen.
Mm-hmm.
And when I booted it up today, no problems at all. Went right in, and basically, if Crackle has these types of collections in addition to the standard movies and shows and stuff like that, and you can basically check out cartoons or whatever. They'll have anime. They have quite a bit of anime from Funimation. I know School Rumble was on there. Ton of anime.
Cool.
Like Big Wind Up, Captain Herlock, I think it is. A metric shit ton of Fist of the North Star. And that's definitely going to get a lot of usage.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I want to say it was over 100 episodes, but I could be wrong. Right. I think it might have been like a couple of seasons worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not gonna watch until there's a English standard shit ton of Fist of the North Star.
Sean the holdover.
And the selection of Crackle. I mean, when you think it's a free app, you don't have to sign up for anything. It's kind of like Hulu before Hulu Plus came around. It's just the content is there. Just watch it.
How are the ads? I haven't even experienced Crackle online.
The ads, from what I've seen on Xbox Live, they do jump in and during the movies every now and then. It's usually just one, at least from my experience, and it's just like 30 seconds long or if that.
Okay, that's bearable.
And then it's better than watching a movie on like FX or something like that, where you have like 2 or 3 minutes of commercials, and you're like, well, where was I in the movie again?
And video quality, how's that?
Video quality is hit or miss. It usually depends on the content provider. Funimation stuff looked really good. I ended up watching Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla 2, I think it was.
Yeah,
they have quite a few of the newer Godzilla movies. They don't have any of the like ones from the 70s or earlier.
Right.
But they do have, some of the more recent ones. And I watched that. I had a little bit of trouble with the, at one point, it was like the server, the server on their end kind of crapped out, and I had to restart the video.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I mean, the app is a little glitchy. There's like a little text like above the video. It's like along the top of the video. Depending on the aspect ratio, it's either right above the widescreen or right along the top of like a 4:3 video, like an anime or whatever. And it'll say like advertisement, pointing out like an advertisement clip or whatever. And usually then the advertisement part disappears and goes back to the normal movie. There have been times where that text won't disappear until the next ad is triggered.
Oh.
I mean, this isn't like make or break stuff here. I mean, it's free movies, and from what I've seen, the video quality, Godzilla looked really good. It does run in HD from what I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the content provider from what I've seen. I've checked out some anime videos that looked like they were YouTube quality.
What is YouTube quality? Because that's everything from...
Well,
from
let's see.
1080 all the way on down to 16 by 16.
I think YouTube before it went widescreen.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's
really crappy.
There have been some videos like that, but I think it's more of the content provider itself not using a very high quality as opposed to the service itself. Mm-hmm. Because from what I've seen, I mean, Godzilla looks great on my 32-inch TV. And what I saw at School Rumble looked really good as well. And I did, for me, I didn't, you know, with the exception of, you know, their server having a hiccup, I had no problems, you know, with buffering or anything. I didn't, I mean, I ended up having to fast forward through the portion of the movie that I had been watching.
Right.
And, I mean, that was, I mean, I think I cranked it up to like 32x fast forward or something like that. And it worked without a charm, without it, you know, no hiccups whatsoever. I fast forwarded right to the scene where I wanted to, and it picked up right immediately. It's for a free movie app with no strings attached, just watching an ad or whatever. It's definitely worth a look. I'm not sure what regions it's available in. It's probably going to be region locked, you know, for different countries or whatever. You know, if you like Godzilla movies, you like anime, I know there's Seinfeld, Married with Children. I think there's like older TV shows like I Dream of Jeannie on there. I mean, the selection it's not like Netflix quality. I mean, they do have some movies, you know, that are decent, but I mean, this is mainly like, I'd say if there was a Crunchyroll app coming out to the Xbox Live, it would probably be a better free anime app. Mm-hmm. But for
Crunchyroll is?
Yeah.
If there were.
I get really frustrated with Crunchyroll because it has ads like all the time, and they're really long and really obnoxious.
Yep.
I use the Android app for Crunchyroll, and you see like one ad in the beginning, and then that's it.
But not all the... Are you a Crunchyroll member?
No. It's just the Android app. And, you know, you see like one or two ads at the beginning.
Okay.
And then the video kicks in, and it's... I mean, I haven't had any trouble with ads.
So that Android app, do you read it on your tablet?
This is turning into Nick and Nick's Tablet Talk Edition. So let's move on to what you've been playing. That's Sean's subtle cue. Sean's such a subtle guy.
as far as what I've been playing, I've been all over the place. I haven't really dedicated much time to one thing specifically, but I have been playing Street Fighter Alpha Max, or Street Fighter Alpha 3 Max on the PSP,
mm-hmm.
And that's like the probably half a dozen or so port of Alpha 3 for. The Street Fighter Alpha 3.
That's the one with all the modes. I think
yeah.
More modes in that than any of the console versions of Street Fighter to follow.
It's weird. I was thinking about that game the other day because I looked. I was wandering through the PlayStation Store for whatever reason, and I looked at the top 20 PS1 downloads.
Right.
And there are only two games in the top 20 list that aren't a Square Enix game, and were never. Offered for free through PlayStation Plus, and they are Street Fighter Alpha 3,
okay.
And Darksiders, or not Darksiders, what's the, Darkstalkers, Darkness, Darksiders, Darkstalkers.
A lot of dark.
That's a callback to last show.
Dark Matter, Darky Darks. Yeah, no, but those are the only two that either, like I said, aren't a Square Enix game, specifically Final Fantasy or Chrono something, or not offered for free. So it's like basically Spyro, Siphon Filter, Crash, and then Final Fantasy, and two Capcom fighting games. And I just thought it was interesting. I was like, huh.
I'm a little surprised Castlevania didn't make the cut.
I am too. I never thought about that.
You know, I thought everyone loved Symphony of the Night. But
yeah,
probably number 11 or 12 or something.
That's the bubble.
Well, no, it would be 21 or 22. So this is the top 20 games.
Oh.
I feel like Castlevania is a little hit or miss for a lot of... I mean, I like Castlevania, but I hear a lot of people who either really like it or they hate it.
Yeah, but Castlevania Symphony of the Night is like widely regarded as one of the best games of all time.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Okay. So anything special we should know about Street Fighter Max?
Well, if you played it on the original PlayStation 1, which I did, it does retain the World Tour mode. I haven't gone back and seen what they've really changed between the PS1 version and what they put on the PSP. But I mean, this is like the fourth time I've bought Alpha 3. It's one of my favorite fighting games of all time because it has a crap ton of modes on it. I mean, I bought it on the GBA. you know, it's. For for Alpha 3 Max, they added a couple of new characters.
I cannot imagine playing that in the GBA with two buttons.
Yeah.
Unless start and select were your heavy punch and kick.
Well, what they did was, you know, basically you had to press two buttons at the same time. Ooh. You know, two kick would be, I mean, you can map it if you want to have just low and high kick,
mm-hmm.
and then have the medium kick be just pressing the two buttons together. You could do that. I think that was the setup I used. But speaking of pressing two buttons, that's one thing that I found to be a little bit awkward about Alpha 3 Max on the PSP. Is because you guys are familiar with, you know, performing a grapple move.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you press kind of forward and then heavy, and then you do a grapple, or back and heavy and do a grapple, or something like that. And with this, you have to press two buttons and a direction, and getting that to time up well on, you know, with the PSP, the shoulder button and the, right. one of the face buttons, it does get a little bit hit or miss.
Can you remap the buttons at all?
You can't
put maybe the lights up top.
Well, that's an idea. I mean, I haven't really thought about that. But as far as, like, new content that they added for the PSP version, I know they brought back the World Tour mode that hasn't, you know, hasn't been in a couple of the other games since the PSP since the PS1 and maybe the Dreamcast version. I never got around to picking that one up. But one thing they did add was they added several new characters. They added a new character called Ingrid. I think that's her name. And I have to be honest, she feels like an SNK character. She feels like a character that was ripped out of King of Fighters or something like that. She uses this kind of a magical energy ball type thing, and it does not gel well with the characters of the Street Fighter series. I don't think she's been brought back in any of the Street Fighter games that I've played, so it's probably for good reason.
Okay.
But I mean, if you have a choice between the PS1 and the PSP, I mean, versions of it, I mean, I'd probably go with the PSP if you want to have it, you know, for the portable.
Most definitely, yeah.
That's about it for me. I've been.
Why do you think Capcom totally forgot about Darkstalkers?
Probably when it didn't make them enough money back in the PS1 days.
I used to love me some Darkstalkers. So.
I have the compilation thing that they did on the PSP. That was one of the first games I picked up for it, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I put a little bit of time into it. I'm not too familiar with the series, so I didn't get. Dive into it really, you know, really deeply, but you know, after playing, you know, Alpha 3 Max, I'll probably go back and check it out again.
Right.
And I like how you can revert the screen ratio. You know, basically, PSP's screen is a little bit wider than 4:3 and not quite perfect widescreen, I think.
69. Yeah.
Yeah, and basically, the viewing angle is just. The screen, the 4:3 screen stretched out,
yep.
And you can turn that off, and you can either have no borders at all, or you know, no colorful borders or whatever,
yeah.
Or you can have like some backgrounds, like features, like some character artwork from the series.
So it doesn't do what they did with the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 remake, where they just expand the background and then have invisible walls.
Yeah, no, that's not what they did with this. And I was hoping, you know, that would have been a nice addition to this, but...
Oh, no, trust me. No. It sounds cool until you actually do it, and you're backing up into a corner that all of a sudden is a lot closer than you thought it was.
Yeah. Sean, why don't you tell me what you've been playing?
I've been playing a lot of Mass Effect 2.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, a lot of Mass Effect 2. Right. I don't want to talk too much about that, because... I'm sure people have heard a lot about Mass Effect 2.
Yeah.
But man, I am really glad that's not a Star Wars game. Because I like every character in that game way more than anybody in Star Wars.
Are you referencing what I was talking about earlier online today?
What were you talking about earlier online today? I don't remember.
Never mind.
Oh, no, I'm not, but that is true.
Okay.
I did not think about the connection there. No. No, I was thinking about how Mass Effect was supposedly going to be KOTOR 3 at some point, and mm-hmm. I'm really glad it wasn't, because I would not have cared about KOTOR 3, and I really like this one. I have like, the problem of I don't know which characters to take with me on missions, because I like more than two characters, and that's a very rare conundrum, and I like it.
Do you have sex yet?
No, not yet.
No.
Abstinence. Someday.
Space abstinence. That's the way to fly. Cool.
Sean, as you keep playing it, don't do any spoilers, or at least have me not listen if you do, because I'm about to play through that as well myself.
I will not finish Mass Effect myself, so I'm gonna. I'd kind of do stick the fingers in the ears myself.
Yeah, well, I won't, but I will. I do want to share one story though. Last night I was in. I think it's one of the DLC missions, but you're flying around in the Hammerhead, and you know I'm following the little arrow to get to where I'm supposed to go. And there's a valley, and the valley kind of ends at a point. And at the end, in that point, there's a big black hole.
Right.
And the arrow is just pointing you right through that black hole, which I didn't know is you're supposed to go around the valley, and your point's, you know, on the other side of that mountain. Mm-hmm. But I just went right into this black hole. And it didn't kill me. It's just there's nothing down there, so the screen just goes dark. And mm-hmm. all you can see is, you know, like numbers at the bottom telling you how far away you are from the objective.
Objective, yeah.
But you can't see anything. You can't see your ship. But if you moved around, the number would change, and you could hear you bumping into stuff. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't die, and I was getting all frustrated with it because, you know, when you're in the Hammerhead missions, you can't save. So I didn't know how far back it was going to throw me, and I was getting frustrated with it. And my girlfriend was sitting on the couch next to me, and she's like, "Why can't you just kill yourself?" And I was like, "Hey, there's no suicide button or anything. You can't kill yourself." It's like,
mm-hmm.
"I'll kill you. Trust me." I was like, whatever. And I gave her the controller, and she mashed all the buttons and couldn't get me killed and just pressed forward until all of a sudden the number of how far away you are from the objective just kept growing and growing and growing. And when she got about 3,000 or 4,000 meters away from the objective, it just killed her. And I was like, wow, you are really so good at dying in video games.
Killing you in video games.
Yeah.
I had a similar experience one time. I was in a public restroom. Somebody turned out the lights, but I didn't have the little waypoint.
And then your girlfriend killed you?
No, that didn't happen. She wasn't in there. Speaking of killing, a lot of killing going on. Twisted Metal.
Yeah. No, not
yeah?
Really. No.
You said you really enjoyed Twisted Metal.
Well, I enjoyed what I played of it. I have yet to finish a game because the servers are all fakakta, and you can't.
I love it when you use Yiddish.
Yeah, I got into several games, which I guess I fared better than you, but.
I didn't get to play a single online game. I tried about 6 times, and every time I got the error message. So I said, fuck this, I'm going to play a little single player. But tell me what you thought.
Well, the problem with the demo is that it's nuke mode, which is the new mode, which sounds really cool. You know, I read the rules to it, and I kind of got a grasp of what was going on. But the servers are kind of messed up right now, and so you can't finish a game. And what ends up happening is you never have enough time to figure out what you're supposed to be doing. You know, like, it'd be one thing if you, you know, got in the game, you fooled around for a little bit, you figured, oh, here's my objective and all that stuff, and then, you know, after a couple games, you get your sea legs and you know the rules. And this is like you get dropped in. I think there's a flag. I think that's one of the things it told me is that somebody got my flag. I don't know. I'm trying to fumble around with the, you know, whatever character I picked, and then, oh, now I've been kicked off again. So now I got to wait for another game to start. But from what I played of the single player, the tutorial thing, the controls are way awful. Antiquated. Yeah, and awful.
Yeah. Was it just me? I could not adapt. I mean, the control scheme is just way off the map. I mean, who the hell has ever mapped gas to the square button?
I mean, Twisted Metal did in 95.
Oh, well, maybe because I haven't played a game.
Yeah, exactly, right?
95. It just, I really hope there's customization.
Yeah.
Because some of the things, I mean, every button is used, you know, for a different for a different thing. Things like motion, you actually use motion with the DualShock to initiate a boost.
Yeah.
You press R3 while backing up for this turbo reverse boost.
Which you would think you would just go in reverse right. and do the exact same thing you're doing when you're going forward.
Or they actually give you a turbo button, and depending if you're going forward or backward, it would turbo.
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't
and
it
maybe double tap the back button or something like that.
There's some double tapping going on, but you got to hit two shoulder buttons to jump.
Yeah, and it's weird he uses three shoulder buttons, three face buttons, and two directional buttons. It can't just do all of any of them.
Right, I mean, I was driving around like I was drunk playing because I kept forgetting, like, oh, the machine guns, and I was switching weapons instead of firing, and it was a mess.
To give listeners an idea of just how bad the controls are, when you go into the tutorial, the first thing it tells you to do is hit the accelerator to go forward.
No.
And it shows you...
First thing it shows you is to turn.
Oh, that's right.
You can turn without hitting the gas.
But
those are some awesome cars.
When it tells you to accelerate, it shows you this, you know, diagram of the controller and hit the square button. But my instinct was to try every other button before square to go, even though it's telling me to hit square.
Yep.
There's something in my mind that goes, all right, trigger is usually, not that trigger, it's the other trigger. Oh, must be the other shoulder. Nope, X? Oh, okay, it's telling me square. Okay. Yep. So it's like they went, what is the last possible option? Select.
You hit triangle before square? I might have hit.
No, but I think I did hit. I think I did hit circle before square. Triangle might have been worse. Select would be the obvious, absolute worst. But they didn't quite go that far. We'll see how it actually releases. But yeah, that game it has potential, but the controls are so stupid.
Yeah, I don't know how much time it would take me to get accustomed to them. And then I switched to analogs, and I didn't see any mapping. So I just sat there, and some guy was just ramming me in the ass with missiles. Just one after. And I was like, you know, screw this. And then I tried reversing in that mode. I tried pulling back on the analog stick, and I was looking at the sky. I was like, oh, okay, goodbye, cruel world.
I hope they figure that out, but that is bad.
Do you have to
do, like, Street Fighter commands or Mortal Kombat commands to launch freeze attacks?
No. But I did notice there, at least in the single player, there are way too many weapons to keep track of.
Yeah, on the bottom, there's probably a dozen different ones. And you have to look, you know, and sometimes, you got like three, I don't know, homing missiles, two regular. The projectile ones look kind of cool, the explosion.
Yeah.
And the game does look pretty cool. Sweet Tooth, you know, in the opening screen looks pretty awesome. There was a little draw-in that I noticed, but other than that, the frame rate was pretty solid, at least in the single-player game.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. I just didn't get a good impression. I hope they can get the servers working because, you know, Twisted Metal is primarily a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Unless you're going local. But I don't know who plays local Twisted Metal because it's not 1995 anymore.
Yeah. I also played two other multiplayer demos. Well, one of them is a beta, but Gotham City Imposters. I played the beta for that. It's good. It's kind of old school team based, you know, capture points and capture the flag and team deathmatch sort of stuff. It's got a good sense of humor, and there are some interesting ideas about getting around the level. Depending on how you build your character, you can either use like this grapple line that can get you pretty much anywhere in the level, or you can use this glide move that, depending on how big your character is, you can land on somebody and do extra damage. It's got an interesting humor to it, but I think where this one's going to miss the point is that since it is a primarily multiplayer-focused game, the best part of the game was the tutorial. Because
What?
I was really worried when they were doing this Batman gang versus Joker gang thing. But in the tutorial, they've got kind of like these two goofy Batman gang characters, and they're teaching you the ropes. And it's...
Like the fanboys in the Batman movie that, you know, show up and are dressed like him and try and do
Yeah, exactly. This is what this game is about. And they're charming and goofy, and that's fun. And then you get into the game and it's those guys again, but it's like all these one-liners that you've heard all of them by the second playthrough, and you kind of get tired of it after a while. You kind of wish there were more gangs than just bats and jokers because every time you hear the Joker go, ooh, I want a cookie or whatever his stupid lines are, it's like, all right, I've heard that before. Yep, yep, I'm Batman. Yep, you sure are. Yep, justice. Yep. So that kind of bums me out because I would have liked to play a game with those characters in it. So that was Gotham City Impostors. And I played Syndicate really quick just to see what that was about. It is a co-op demo, and if you don't have any friends that are willing to play it with you, it sucks because the game is all about people getting hurt and then healing them, and then there will be a head count at certain parts of the level, and if you don't have everybody, you got to go back and find them. So I got killed kind of early on in this one map, and they just left me, and then they get all the way up, and they get to a door, and it won't let them through because all four of us aren't there, and so they came back and they revived me, and then the entire way back to the door they kept killing me because they were upset that they didn't revive me when they had their first chance to.
That could be an allegory for this podcast, Sean.
I hope that game is good because it seemed like fun. There were some weird things about it, like the heads up display kind of floats around your vision when you move, and it's kind of nauseating.
What kind of perspective is the game?
It's first person. It's a first person shooter.
Okay. The old game was strategy driven.
This is not
at all.
A 4-player co-op first person shooter.
Okay. Is there any strategic, any tactical element?
Are
they pulling a Shadowrun on us?
In the demo, there's a strategy of staying within eyesight of your team so that they can heal you, because it seemed like as long as you could look at someone and were within, earshot, you could heal them.
Okay.
But there wasn't a lot of tactics going on. I mean, like I said, I was playing with a bunch of complete strangers with no headsets, so it was basically just run into a firefight, don't know where everybody is, get killed, wait for them to come revive you, they'll be upset and shoot at you, and then you eventually lose because nobody's cooperating.
That's why I think LAN parties are better. Like, yeah. D, you made that crack about no one plays LAN anymore because it's not 1995, but I would much rather spend the extra, like, hour calling up friends and, like, getting a couple TVs together at one person's house to do a LAN party for something, then because you don't have all those frustrations. You have people that have like solid teams and they, you know, can communicate with each other. And I think that's much more enjoyable actually than playing online.
Yeah.
Except I'm one of those people where if I get involved in something, I just quiet down. I don't talk to people.
Yeah, I am too.
I was playing something. I think it was SOCOM with Jeremy Lamont, and he's like, "Are you there still?" I said, "Yeah, I'm just in a firefight right now."
So I don't know. I don't know what to say when I'm online. To be perfectly honest, like,
I usually either end up having to talk shit or defend the fact that I'm a girl and not a 13-year-old boy, or then defend the fact that no, even though I'm a girl, I do not want to be friends with you just because I'm a girl.
Oh, what about Snoop Dogg jokes?
Snoop Dogg jokes are the best jokes.
So what have you been playing, Rob?
So I got two new SNK PSP minis. They came out last week, and thanks to our friend of the show, David Bruno, I got a chance to play them both, and so might our listeners. I'll be giving away 4 codes for each game before this week's interview. So let me start with, what's the name of it, Gold Medalist, which is probably the weaker of the two. Now, I consider myself somewhat of a retro coin-op historian. I spent a good part of the late 80s dropping tokens at this place called the Regency Game Palace.
Oh, you should have dropped them. If you put them in machines, they played video games.
Oh, shit, I was doing it all wrong. So that was a little place in Pleasant Hill, California, right next to the recruiting center, and the recruiters would give you tokens if you take their tests. So anyway, I must have missed 1988's Gold Medalist, which, as you could probably tell from the title, was SNK's take on Track and Field, which was Konami, right, Sean?
It was Band. Oh, no, Track and Field was Konami. You are correct.
Konami. Okay. So, anyway, after booting the game, you get to choose from 9 events. And choosing's cool because it's a reprieve from always starting off with the Track and Field's 100-yard dash. So the events are a little bit different. There's discus. There's boxing along with the decathlon, you know, style events. There's swimming. Most of the events, you know, they're not carbon copies of Konami's game. The running is from an overhead perspective. But the button mashing mechanics are. Playing on the PSP, the difficulty level is set pretty high, and the old standbys of using like a ruler or pencil or a comb or something like that to cheat wasn't really an option for me. So I consistently failed. I don't think I passed. I passed one event. That was it. Now, part of the problem is that the game, it doesn't explain each event, and it goes with the SNK, you know, the three-button layout there, so things are a little bit experimental at first. And I do wish SNK would kind of create this online space where you could maybe look at, you know, instructions, see the arcade cabinet art, you know, those type of things.
They made something like that called Game Facts.
I hate Game Facts. Yeah, I guess you could go there. But did they show cabinet art, Sean?
No, there actually used to be a website. I can't remember what it was. That was all it was cabinet art and then vector art based on cabinet art. So you could, you know, make it print out your own. But I don't know what happened to them. I'm trying to remember. Maybe it was arcadeart.com.
I think we need to go back and revive them.
Yeah.
Jump back. So, anyway, as a shmup, the other game, Bermuda
Triangle. Wait, real quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gold medalist. How much worse is it than Caveman Games, the best Olympic game of all time?
Well, was that the BC one?
It wasn't based on BC. It was just
Caveman. I had a BC.
I know which one you're talking about. I think that was for Atari 50.
I want to say I had it for Commodore 64, and I like that one a lot. And it's somewhere between Summer Games. What was it? EPYX? EPYX? Was that the company? Somewhere between, or they had like California Games and things like that.
I love California Games.
Did you?
I did.
The skateboarding, the surfing, what else was there? I'm trying to remember all those.
Hacky Sack?
Yeah, that's right. Hacky Sack. Wasn't it? Okay, not as cool as California Games, but not as bad as probably Caveman Games there.
But Caveman Games was the best.
No, the BC one, you could pull your girlfriend by the hair.
That was Caveman Games too. Okay, that was what they had instead of the
hammer. They licensed out Caveman Games and made it BC. They put the BC characters in.
It's possible it went the other way around. The BC came out first. They couldn't get the license to. I'm pretty sure Caveman Games was Data East, but yeah, it was on NES, and it had the hammer throw, which was you grab the woman by the hair and throw her.
Was there any dinosaur battling?
There was something with the dinosaur. I want to say it was the hurdles was on dinosaurs, maybe. Or maybe it was long jumps.
Okay, I've got to go back to that this week. I'm going to be looking for dinosaur, or not dinosaur, caveman games. So anyway, Bermuda Triangle fares a little bit better. It's mainly a one-button affair because you're holding down X to shoot. The O does change the formation of your accompanying missiles, and the triggers, the left and right triggers, they rotate the turret on the top of your ship. It's got these big kind of clunky sprites, so it reminds me, in a good way, of a TurboGrafx-16 shmup, so, which is kind of a good thing. The other hook is it's a vertical scrolling shooter, and when you reach the top of a playfield, it turns back around. And there's actually this mid-stage mechanic that tells you that Bermuda Triangle, it's not just some random game that they pulled out of a hat. They actually show your, I don't know, some kind of, you know, HUD where you're going back in time and things are all fucked up because you're lost in the Bermuda Triangle. So, I don't know, it's an interesting curio for shmuppies, $3 for both of those. I've been playing a little bit of them, probably got my money's worth. The other thing I've been spending some time with, I picked up the latest Humble Bundle, which is Anomaly HD, a title Anomaly that Sage reviewed. Edge Osmos HD, or is it Osmos? I guess like Osmosis.
I think it's Osmos, yeah.
Osmos, like Osmosis, yeah, because you are absorbing things.
Osmosis Jones?
No, we're not going to talk about
that. No, but that would be awesome.
No, that would be awesome.
That would not be awesome.
And so anyway, and if you give more than the average, which is like $5 right now, you get World of Goo. Now, what's cool about this package is you get the games for not only for Android, but also PC, Mac, and Linux, I believe, too. So a really good deal. You can tell how much you give to charity and stuff like that. Now, Sage already reviewed Anomaly, so I won't get into too much of the mechanics there. It's just a reverse tower defense game. There, but it looks amazing on my phone. So good it made me want to go out and buy a tablet. You guys ready for tablet talk?
Tablet talk!
No.
Because I was wondering about that, I was going to mention the Humble Bundle, which I have not gotten yet because...
Do it!
Well, see, World of Goo is one of my favorite games, but I feel like on my... I mean, I have a Droid Pro, so it's a decent size screen. It's like 3x2, but I feel like it would not...
That is not decent sized. But no.
It's a normal Droid size. It's like 3x1.5. But
my tablet is 8 inches.
It's not a tablet. It's a phone. But I feel like it wouldn't look that good and it wouldn't play as well because I'd be fumbling a lot.
No, it is really good. In Anomaly, how would you set your paths? How would you path set? At the beginning of each round, you set paths on PC. Would you draw it with a mouse, or how did you do that?
Yeah, I think I did it with the mouse.
Now, this one, you have as much time as you want, and at every intersection, you could tap on that and change it, change the direction. So you just tap, and it was really easy. And then on the other parts of the game, you just tap to pick up the power-ups, like the smoke screen repair items and things like that. So it worked really well. And on my HTC, I think it's one of the faster phones, but worked really well. I did have a little bit of slowdown, like once or twice, but I think it's the exception, not the rule. Osmos, not Osmosis Jones, it's definitely no slouch either. It's one of those games where it blends the eat the smaller ones, avoid the bigger ones, but it does it with this delicate momentum instead of like some virtual D-pad where it turns into like, it would be one of those, eat the small fish, avoid the shark bullshit. So that one's really fun.
Feeding frenzy.
Yeah, stuff like that.
You did say virtual D-pad, not virtual D-bag, right?
I probably said D-bag.
Okay.
I don't know.
I heard D-bag. I wasn't sure if that was just me, though.
I'm thinking about myself, I guess. I think it's a really good buy, especially because you get both versions, and it picked it up day one, and they really run well. I was surprised on my phone how well Anomaly runs, and it really looks good, too. It's kind of a space... Hog, it takes up, I believe, 146 megs. Oh, and then Edge. I forgot about Edge. Edge is my favorite. It's kind of a, I don't know how you refer to it. You take a block and you're moving it around different geometric environments, and there's not much to it. Looks pretty, runs super fast, but, not my favorite.
Mm-hmm. Question.
Yes, answer.
In Osmos.
Yes.
Does Bill Murray... take an egg from a monkey and then eat it.
What?
God, I remember monkeys that.
Monkeys don't lay eggs.
No, he took it out of the monkey's mouth, I'm pretty sure. That's what happened.
No, there's unfortunately they didn't get Bill Murray. Oh, and then the other thing, I could not stop laughing at the Anomaly when I thought that you had asked us a couple times, Sage, if that was Jason Statham as the voice actor, because, yeah, they definitely want it to sound like him.
It does sound a lot like
him. A lot. Like, they went in saying, I want you to be Jason Statham.
Right. Like, if you had a crush on him, you should get that game just because you get to listen to someone who is apparently not him but sounds just like him talk to you.
Yeah. So if you have a crush on him, definitely. You have a crush on him?
Do I know?
But you know who I do have a crush on?
Me.
CPD. much like that actor sounds like... Jason Statham, you do kind of look like GPD, which is why we're about to see double.
Hey guys, Desert Eagle here with the founder of Cheap Ass Gamer and B-list internet celebrity, Cheapy D. Welcome to the show, Cheapy.
Thank you. I moved up to B-list.
Oh, you're not C-list anymore?
I don't know. Well, you called me B-list.
Okay. Maybe you got to do pornography to get on the B-list.
Well, that's not going to happen. Nobody's looking for that.
Now, before we begin, I want to mention I do have a debt of gratitude. Not only has Cheap Ass Gamer saved me a ton of money over the last, it's probably been about 9 years since I joined the site, but its community has served as a catalyst, introducing me to passionate gamers such as our own Sean Nola and Blue Swim. So on behalf of Tech Gaming, I want to give you a warm thank you.
No problem. I was trying to think when we first met.
Mm-hmm.
Was it at a CAG meetup at E3?
Like, I believe so, yeah.
Like a long time ago.
We were standing side by side, and your mom thought we looked alike. I remember
this
that.
Is like, this years must ago. Be 2004, I want to say. Could that be right?
I want to say it was like 5 or 6, 2005, 2006, something like
that. Okay, maybe.
Could be. I think that's when I started going to E3, sometime around that.
Okay.
So
cool.
So that was it. Anyway, I want to jump right into things and talk about your most recent claim to fame, a role in Saints Row the Third. Can you tell us a little bit about how you secured your part in the game?
Secured, yes.
Yes. Sounds business-like, huh?
Volition, the developers of Saints Row,
right,
were doing a charity auction to benefit a family that lost their daughter. It's a very sad story, mm-hmm. but they were auctioning off a very small part in Saints Row the Third. And of course, being a huge fan of the series, I really wanted to win it badly.
Mm-hmm.
So I made sure that I won it.
Right.
You know, I was going to win it no matter what, pretty much. I was, you know,
determined.
I was determined. I didn't think there was going to be, you know, a big amount of competition there. So I just made sure that I won it. And I think I got it for a really good price. It was, mm-hmm. I think $17.50.
Now, how much were you willing to spend to get a spot?
You know, I didn't really think about it that much, mm-hmm. but you know, you never know in the heat of the moment. It was on eBay. It was a, you know, straight up eBay auction.
Mm-hmm.
So you never really know until you're put in that situation. But I'm sure I would have gone more. And you know, in the beginning, they originally just said, the plan was for me to be just a pedestrian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, just a random guy walking the street. But due to some technical detail, in fact, like I recorded all these lines as just being a regular pedestrian.
Mm-hmm.
But they had some technical glitch when they were trying to put it all together. And they also decided that it was kind of lame to be just a random pedestrian that people would have a hard time following me. That they wound up making me a homie in the game, which is one of the guys that you can call on your in-game phone and have them come help you in a fight. So that it turned out to be actually a much better prize than I had anticipated.
Yeah, thank God for that glitch, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I was, and it was funny because when they were telling me about it, they were, you know, I mean, they were so nice dealing with these guys.
Sure.
Jay, who's the community manager there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was so nice throughout the whole thing. And he even said, like, you know, I have sort of some bad news and I, you know, hope you're not too upset. But, you know, it was like good news, bad news. Like good news, bad news is we're not going to use any of the voiceover work that you did already. But the good news is you have a much better part in the game and you get to do it all over again. So I was like, are you kidding? This is all awesome. I mean,
yeah.
How could anybody be upset about that?
Now, one thing, I'm not a business person, but this type of charitable benefit, it seems to be relatively inexpensive to the developer, but it seems to have the potential to earn, you know, admiration from gamers and mm-hmm. Get some pretty good PR. Why do you think more studios don't do these type of fundraisers? I mean, Bethesda could have made a good chunk of change by, you know, getting people to do the shopkeep voices.
Right,
it
you know,
sound a lot better.
sure. I mean, right. With Volition, this was a local
yeah.
tragedy that happened in their hometown, basically. Mm-hmm.
I think it was Steve Jaros. He's the lead writer.
Right.
It was a girl by the name of Ashley Ames.
Yes.
She was severely burned in a house fire. And I believe his wife, Steve's wife, was also a burn survivor. So, you know, something kind of personal to him and really awesome. But, you know, to me, it sounds like such a win-win situation. I'm just surprised more developers don't do something like this.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I don't know. I don't know if it's from pressure from the publisher. They don't want the developers – you know, basically, you know, doing something for free.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the game, you know, they just don't have the time. I don't know. And I was, you know, I was really grateful that these guys put this together. And, you know, I'm sure they spent a lot of time doing even my little part. I'm sure it took them a lot of time.
Sure.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. It seems like a no-brainer to me, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Do a charity auction. It's free. I mean, every gaming blog posted about they posted about the auction.
Mm-hmm.
Then they posted about when the auction was over, the winner.
Right.
And then they posted about it again, you know, when
that got more press than Saints Row the Third.
not really, but you know, it's like automatic coverage, and it doesn't cost. I mean, it only cost them time, mm-hmm. you know, to put into the DLC. But yeah, I'm surprised that you don't see that more often.
Right.
And I would be in a lot more games if it was.
Yeah. Now, one thing I've known about you from our brief offline or real life interactions at E3 and being a party in the cheap ass gamer community is that you're driven by charitable causes. You've raised a substantial amount of money for the Child's Play charity every year. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to know what was your inspiration for these causes?
Well, it's a couple things. First of all, my father worked. He's retired now, but he worked for a pretty big nonprofit called the Population Council. He was their treasurer for almost 20 years, maybe even 20 years. And in fact, when I was on some hard times, and it was after my father had retired, and I had quit my job because I basically hated it,
right.
And I wound up temping at this organization and working in their fundraising department. And eventually I wind up getting the job full time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was funny because – so I applied. I was temping at this place, and then they decided that they need to have somebody come full time. And I figured, well, you know, my dad worked here for 20 years, and he was – you know, he was an officer there for 20 mm-hmm. years. It's like, obviously I'm going to get the job, right? I mean,
sure.
It would be like – and I didn't get the job. And I was like, wow, they're really going out of their way to show that there's no nepotism here. And they hired somebody else, and the guy turned out to be a total disaster. And then I wound up getting the job because the guy was just such a screw up. But that sort of got me interested in it. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and once you know, certainly Child's Play, the great work that Penny Arcade guys have done with Child's Play is certainly a motivating factor. But I, you know, it's, I think it's, you know, when you have a public ear, you know, for a certain part like I do, that it's nice to get the word out there that, yes, you can give money to charity and feel good about it. And it's a great activity to sort of unite a community and get the word out there that there are people who are probably not as fortunate as you might be.
Yeah. Awesome. Now, getting back to Saints Row, your performance in there, can you tell us about the voiceover process, how it was recorded? Did you have, you know, immediate direction by the Volition crew?
Yeah, I mean, first, you know, they asked if I could come to Chicago, and I would love to go to Chicago, but it's very far, and, you know, I have a family.
Sure.
If I was single, I just would have went and done it there, because it would be I've never been to, like, a big developer like that, or, you know, it would have been awesome. But I asked them if I could do it over Skype, and I told them that I had a pretty nice microphone that I used to podcast on, and they said that would be okay. And what we did is we did a video Skype. So I had – it was Steve that we just mentioned before and Jay, the community manager.
Right.
And we did it over Skype, and so they gave me direction, right, as I was doing it live. And I recorded everything on my end locally here.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the session, I just uploaded a giant WAV file to them, and that was it.
They cut it all up, huh?
And they cut it up.
Did they give you direction? You know, you're on fire right now.
Well, yeah, they gave me a spreadsheet. Right. And the spreadsheet had the line on it, and it also described the situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would say, like, you know, you're on fire, ah, or scream, or something like that.
Now, so you didn't write any of the lines yourself? Because it sounds like some of those you either wrote or someone's a follower of the keg cast.
So here's, I mean, I wouldn't say that I wrote them, but mm-hmm. I maybe changed a few of them to make them sound like they were something I would say. I didn't have any time to rehearse, you know, because mm-hmm. of the time difference here. And like I said, you know, these guys are busy. They're trying to get a game out. Like, the game wasn't out yet when we were doing all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So they sent me all my lines, and it was basically, I woke up, took my kid to school, you know, and I saw the lines, and then we recorded it. It wasn't like I could rehearse them or
mm-hmm.
so just sort of while we were doing it, I would say, oh, let me just change this, you know, to say that. But, you know, only a handful that I actually changed. But I know that Jay, I believe that Jay listens to the CADcast.
Okay.
I don't, probably not Steve, but.
Was there anything you said? No, I'd never say that.
No.
No.
I mean, if you've heard the CADcast, it's right. Pretty much everything is fair game. So they asked me at the very start, do you have any problems with profanity, or is there anything that you're opposed to? And I was like, no.
A lack of profanity, right?
Right.
Now, this wasn't your first vocal work for a game. Didn't you contribute to Tweet Defense as well?
Yeah, but that was real. My line was, I was okay. A zombie. And I can't even, you know, even having played the game, they had a few other people do zombie voices, and I really couldn't even tell you for sure which one I did.
Sure.
So this was the first one that it was, you know, there were real words in it,
mm-hmm.
had English in it. But it was really fun, man. I would love to do that again in a like a bigger capacity, because most of the lines in Saints Row are just literally like one-liners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be really exciting to have like a real part and try to do it.
Sure. Now, one thing I wanted to ask, I'm not sure if you know the answer to this, so no pressure, but you were in your own GPD pack for the PS3 version of Saints Row the Third, and then right. available as part of the Genki viewer pack.
Right.
What was the reason for that? How come you didn't have your own pack for the 360?
Microsoft hates me.
Really?
Honestly, I don't know, and I didn't ask, but I did think that it was odd.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, it's certainly
no.
I don't know. I mean, your guess is. I mean, do you have any idea why?
No idea. That's why I'm asking.
Maybe, I thought maybe they would. Microsoft would consider it like advertising for me in some way, and maybe they don't want to put out free. I mean, I don't know. I really. Okay. I'm just. I really have no idea. I didn't ask. Mm-hmm. I should ask. I guess I would be curious. But I was so grateful to have this opportunity that I didn't want to, you know, make any waves at all. So like I didn't complain about anything. I didn't, you know, I just, you know, I was so happy to do it.
Right. Now with my review schedule and a little thing called Final Fantasy 13-2, I haven't really had a chance to call up GPD since day one, since the pack came out. But I did notice that despite you had some really good quips there, and they managed to capture your persona. The mm-hmm. AI wasn't quite there.
I mean, a couple of people have brought that up, like that I just stand there
right.
and get shot. In fact, there's a video on YouTube.
You make an appearance, though. You come in, you smash.
Yeah, I show up.
Yeah, but a really damn good appearance.
But I drive in my purple Nissan
right. GTR. Usually wreck at least 3 or 4 cars in the process.
Right, I'm a great driver. there's actually, I think there's a video on YouTube called, what is it called? I don't know, but a guy basically made a video of exactly what you're talking about. I come, I show up, and I stand there and I get shot.
Okay.
Apparently there's a glitch in the game, and I think it's not limited to just my homie. I think right. it's all the homies. Mm-hmm. And they did say that they were planning on patching it.
Okay.
But it's not an, you know, some people don't have the problem at all, and some people do. So I've, you know, when I play, I've never come across it. I've always fired off a few shots and killed some people.
Right.
Apparently they're going to patch it, but you never know.
Okay. Awesome. Now, before I let you go, I'd probably be disappointing the listeners if I didn't ask what 2012 has in store for Cheap Ass Gamer.
Aha. Well, a lot, hopefully. So one of the things that we're doing is we're moving from vBulletin to IPB. These are two different types of forum software.
Mm-hmm.
vBulletin, which we've used for a very, very, very long time, really just hasn't developed very far in the, you know, in a long time.
Sure.
And it's, so we're moving to IPB, which has a much nicer look to it, has some really cool features. And will also enable us to build out some stuff on the rest of the site as well. So we're redoing the entire front page. We're going to redo our entire price tracker system. And in fact, we're also going to have a spin-off site that is basically just a standalone price tracker.
Mm-hmm.
That has like a more, what do you call, like a Web 2.0 look.
Okay.
So for people who are intimidated when they come to a site like Cheap Ass Gamer, like it's really a community-driven site and there's a lot going on and like people, you know, forums are all maybe a little too complicated for them. Something that's more in line with like a Google where you just see like a big search box and you type in the game that you're looking for. But the key thing that we're adding to this is that we're going to leverage all the community information that we have from CAG. Because, you know, a lot of times, even though we have access to all these data feeds from the various retailers, sometimes the deals are not reflected in the data feeds. Whether it's, if it's like a buy two, get one free sale at Amazon, you're not going to see that show up in the game's price,
right?
You know, for example, or if it's a if there's an in-store only deal somewhere, or you know, anything like that. So what we're gonna do is, when you search for a game, we'll be able to include the relevant threads from our gaming deals forum that'll just pop up there, so you can see, you know, the whole, get the whole picture. And I think that that's really important, and that's probably why people don't use the price search stuff that we have on CAG all that much, because it's just not as up to date as when you have thousands of people, you know, looking for deals on their own. And even now, like even when they're just straight up like price drops, people tend to find them and post them in the forums before they show up in our price tracker, even though our price tracker updates, you know, several times a day. People are just faster.
Yeah.
You know, dedicated people are really just faster.
Keep that on.
So, and this is all supposed to come out soon, you know, like February soon, at least some of it anyway. And of course, you know, an iPhone app, which has been worked on for a long time, but keeps getting pushed back because we needed to work with our, you know, the system that we have up on the website. So I'm excited for all this stuff, you know, and we're redoing like our sort of our review system and, you know, the entire look of the site. So
awesome.
Hopefully people don't complain too much, but you never know. People don't like change. I know that. So we're going to try – and, you know, we're going to also – we're going to keep the dark theme, but we're also going to add a light theme to the site. So people who get tired of looking at all the black, or – some people complain that they can't look at the site at work because it doesn't look like a legitimate site because it's black and people can just notice it from, you know, across the office.
Right.
So hopefully that won't be the case any longer.
Awesome. So a lot of changes. So check out cheapassgamer.com. A lot of good stuff coming down the pipeline. Thank you so much for your time, Cheapy. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Anytime.
Are we skipping what Sage has been doing this week?
God, that was such a good segue and I ruined it.
Can you edit that back in?
I will do my best.
Okay. Just edit that, because I don't think we could do that a second time. That was awesome. Sage, we passed the torch.
Well, mostly what I've been playing is win all your oral arguments at law school and kick ass, which I did. I have been playing Kakarot, which is really not a video game.
Wait. You're talking about Oral and Kakarot? I'm sure some of the listeners have already got their minds completely in the gutter.
Had not put those two together, but yes, that is what I said. Kakarō is basically Sudoku, but it's set up like a crossword puzzle. But that's, I don't count that stuff as video games because it's lame. Because it's not. It's just a digitized version of a paper game. But I did, at the behest of a friend of mine, play a little bit of GURP and Quap. Do you guys know those games?
I do know Quap.
Quap, okay, so for those of you who don't know, these rad dudes decided to... they decided to make a game that was a really simple game, and it's called Quap because it's, you use the QWOP keys to make your runner run. And the idea is that each key controls either one of the quads or one of the calves of his legs. But it ended up being hilarious and terrible because you can't, it's like impossible. It's like impossible to actually run further than, I mean, my friend and I played together, and I won it like 9 feet. I mean, you can't get going.
Go look on YouTube. People can beat that game. It's amazing.
People can, but you literally need to sit there and, one, be very dexterous to begin with, and, two, like, play it for a really long time because the physics aren't always consistent. So I tried. I tried doing, like, you know, opposite quad and calf, or doing quad and calf at the same time, or doing – and, like, you can sort of get going, but if you lose your balance at all, your runner just plummets over onto his face. Plus, he looks like Bill Cosby, so that's hilarious.
I will send you a video that somebody made about quad. It's hilarious.
I appreciate putting it in the end. Okay. GURP is the other one they made, which is a rock climbing one, and you're climbing up this seawall as the ocean goes higher and higher, and there's seagulls. And it's, like, even more ridiculous because you have to swing your guy so that you kick the seagull off of rocks. It's just, it's ludicrous. Check them out. They're free to play. Ludicrous.
Do you use the G-U-R-P buttons for that one? They're all over the keyboard.
It's G-I-R-P, but yeah. I mean, it's set up that way so that you can easily hit shift, because you use shift also, I guess. I don't know why they chose, I don't know why they chose those ones. But, so that's mostly what I've been playing between that and being in a movie and getting stuff set up for my photography show. But if anyone's interested, I thought this was really funny. Since I'm in law school now, I looked up this legal thing having to do with video games. Red Cross met, and they didn't come up with – they decided that violent video games are a problem because they violate international humanitarian law, even though it's a fucking game and it's not real. And the quote of the article was that they met, and even though they didn't decide on a specific action, they all unanimously decided that something must be done about
that. Oh, no, I just helped the Red Cross with
Did
stuff.
You?
Yeah. You're on the wrong team, Sean.
Stop helping them.
I forgot to mention something, too.
What did you forget to mention?
A little game, Access and In, Hakaoke. It's called Demon of the Fleeting Blossom. And it's my first dabbling in otome. You guys played any visual novels before?
You told me not to. You and Sean told me not to because you told me they were full of porn and very useless, so I never did.
I don't think I said that.
I think that would be somebody else.
That would be an oral argument for, not against. Anyway. Well, this one, you see the world through the eyes of a male protagonist, or a female protagonist. So I was kind of looking forward to experiencing the world of Edo, Japan, and I thought, well, I could manage a female perspective, and it is kind of enjoyable. It's novel. So far, speaking of novel, a little play on words there, it follows pretty standard format. You're given three chapters at the beginning, and then at the end of the third, you follow and you interact with the partner you've most romanced. So you're not penalized for wrong answers when it comes time to pick, but you become closer to one of the characters there. So the developers, they really did like a fine job with the game. I mean, the sound effects are amazing. There's some swordplay in there. A lot of description on how beautiful these guys are. They kept the Japanese dialogue. The visuals are really nice. Access did a great job with the translation. And there's even like this encyclopedia of terms that fills you up when you encounter certain elements. There's things
sounding
like
a little porny already.
So far, I haven't had sex with any of the dudes yet. So there's one button saving and the ability to move quickly. So it's cool.
Just so you know, I'm taking that little clip, and that is going to be the sound it makes whenever I get a text message from you.
Wait, which of us is going to do the clip for what?
Every time I call Sean, it's going to say, I haven't had sex with any of the dudes yet.
Yep.
That's awesome.
But I think you should wait till I have sex with one of the dudes, Sean.
That's when I get an email.
Nice. I don't have a droid.
Yes, there you go. So that's me. Demon of the Blossom.
How is the game? Is it okay?
It's not really a game, but it's better than okay. I don't know where you're going with this transition.
No. Didn't you say that the name of the game was Haru Okay?
Haku Okay.
Haku Okay. Oh, man, that joke would have been so much better if I was paying attention.
It was a good try. It was a really good try. You know, speaking of interactive novels, I have never mentioned this, but I do have a Kindle, and I have some interactive comic book novel things on there.
Oh, cool.
And what I like about it, and I don't know if they intentionally employed this or if it just happened that way, but when you're looking at graphic stuff on the Kindle, usually it fills in layers. And so, like, someone will go to punch someone, and the panel will fill in layers. So actually it looks a little interactive because it's, like, gray, shades of gray filling in, and it's like, pow, pow, pow. But they have some pretty good choose-your-own-adventure comic book heroes.
So it looks like Comic Zone with the guy drawing it in.
More like someone painting it in rather than the etching.
Okay.
But that has some pretty. If you have a Kindle, you might check out on the
marketplace.
Just look up like choose your own adventure comic books or interactive comic books. Some of them are money, some of them are free, but they're pretty worth it actually. Like this one I have has taken me hours and hours to like play through it. So.
No, I bought a Kindle last summer. I totally love it.
Nice. Yeah, I love them too. Actually, a lot.
I take it with me everywhere. Yep. That's not a very good soundbite.
No.
Sean, give me a good soundbite.
Something, 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 CBD, just in case I don't figure out a way to edit that other one in here.
Okay, yay!
Yeah. I'm actually really excited for that one.
Yeah, it's good. I think it was good. I think it turned out all right.
Were there poop jokes?
No, we played it totally serious.
Oh, man.
Any big ass chains?
Awful. This is going to be the worst episode ever.
I am disappointed about the lack of poop jokes.
It was totally sincere and earnest. There was no poop jokes.
That's lame.
You can be sincere and earnest with Cheapy and still have poop. That's kind of a thing.
The two are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just a different vibe.
Is it mutually exclusive? A. Yes. B. No.
C, sometimes.
C, sometimes. And D, all of the above.
B, I haven't had sex with a man yet, so I think it's time for trivia.
Yay!
Number one, my favorite Kinect game involves putting the hardware back in the box and putting it in the closet between the V-Fit balance board and the Tony Hawk Shred skateboard. Tim Schafer and company have a different plan with Double Fine Happy Action Theater, offering 18 different Kinect minigames. I want you to name the fictitious one. Is it A, wiggling around in acid-tripping, kaleidoscope-inspired graphics? B, swinging at seagulls who open like feather-filled piñatas? C, playing breakout with your body as the paddle? Or D, kicking beach balls into a panda's mouth?
Wait, what was the question?
Which one is not a real event in Happy Action
Double
Theater?
Double Fine Happy Action Theater.
So what do we have? Panda, paddle, on the beach. What were the first two?
Something about kicking a ball into one of them's mouth.
No,
have you ever been to the Happy Action Theater?
Me? No.
I'm going to say the acid trip part because I don't think they would have said acid trip in their press release. That's Tim Schafer's got kids, you know.
Okay.
Sure, I'm going to go with that one. Why not?
That makes sense to me, too.
Well, the correct answer is I didn't take these from the press release, guys. I work. Correct answer was kicking beach balls into a panda's mouth.
Oh, damn it! I should have.
Yes, there is kaleidoscope inspired graphics.
Poop.
And they do look like you're tripping on acid.
Having never tripped, I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know either. But I've seen this. I've seen 60s movies. Number two. Speaking of misunderstood peripherals, let's jump back in time to 2002 when the GBA e-reader was all the rage. Actually, the rage was initiated when players had to swipe a number of cards just to get a classic NES game on their portable screens. Just how many swipes did it take to get your Donkey Kong on? A, 5 swipes twice for a total of 10 swipes. XP, 4 cards, 4 times for a total of 16 swipes. I did this just for you, Sage.
C, I hate you so
eight
much.
Cards, 8 card swipe twice for a total of 8 total swipes.
That one. That one. Wait, G, you said 8 twice? That's 16.
8 cards swiped once, I'm sorry, for oh, 8 total okay. swipes. I'm just seeing if you're paying attention. And okay. D, 6 cards swiped twice for a total of 12 swipes.
I think it's 12 swipes. 12 was the number I was waiting for in there. I think it's 12.
I'm going to trust in the wisdom of the group.
Dang, it's 12.
What happened to blue? Okay. You're going to say it's 12? Correct answer, A, 5 cards twice for a total of 10 swipes.
Dagnabbit. We used to sell those at my store. I should know that.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have an e-reader?
Hell no. I do think that the next generation of consoles needs a e-reader of some sort on it, though.
Yeah, totally.
I think it needs a place where you can swipe points cards.
I agree.
Good idea. Okay, despite having a really bad name and being prone to becoming looser than a recent divorcee, EdgyCon will forever live in the hearts of driving fans. In the hearts of driving fans.
I got that.
What did I say? Okay. Well, a number of titles supported the twisting controller. Few supported its Namco-manufactured offspring, the JogCon. Named the only game that worked with this peripheral. Okay, Sage, the only game that worked with the JogCon.
Okay,
is it A, Gran Turismo? B, Motor Tune Grand Prix 2? C, Ridge Racer Type 4? D, Destruction Derby?
Gran Turismo!
Ridge Racer Type 4.
That is a Namco game, I believe, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah.
That makes sense to me.
Correct answer. Yeah, Blue, you nailed it. Sean, too. Ridge Racer Type 4.
Damn it.
Yeah!
A far better moniker was bestowed upon the little seen and scarcely purchased Genesis peripheral called the Sega Mega Mouse, yet it was still inferior to the Japanese model. Why? A, the Japanese mouse flipped over and used like a trackball. B, the American model lacked the programmable macros. C, the Japanese model featured a precision button allowing players to speed the movement of the cursor. Or D, the button springs on the Sega Mega Mouse had a 35% failure rate within its first year of use.
Oh, Lord, all of those.
Is ridiculous, so put it in.
All of those sound like actual things that could be wrong with the Mega Mouse.
Sega Mega Mouse, please.
I'm going to say the precision button.
Okay.
B. I'm
going to
say B.
I think I'll go with C.
Correct answer, A, flip over, use like a trackball.
That's awesome. That is actually an awesome feature.
That is really cool.
I always wondered why more mice don't do that. Number 5, with a slogan like, it's the most amazing accessory in video game history, and it will change the way you play games forever. You'd
activator.
Deliver.
Unfortunately,
this was a bit of half-truth, only postponing motion-based gaming like Kinect for a decade or two. Name this overhyped piece of junk.
Sega Activator.
The Activator. B, the Power Glove. C, the U-Force. Or D, well, I was named after Rob, the robotic operatic.
What is it? You're a robotic operatic thingy?
Yeah, I sing opera. The robotic operating buddy.
I'm going to say it's the activator.
Sean is
really?
So
are you sure,
sure
Sean?
It's either the activator or the power glove, but.
Blue.
So something about that pitch just made me think activator as soon as it started coming out of your mouth.
I do seem to remember seeing advertisements. For the activator where this, like, kid with his socks on is, like, kicking at, like, the TV, and I'm thinking, that's stupid, so I'll go with activator.
Correct answer, C, the U-Force.
What?
The U-Force,
that's
the U-Force is a lot of fun to play with, actually. To play Mario Kart with it.
Bullshit.
It's bullshit. No, my job for the day
one. You could barely move your hand.
What you had to do,
a battleship that opened up, but you could move your hand an inch, then it wouldn't even recognize it.
What you did is you play Mario. Mario's the only game that's fun to play with it. With your left hand, you strike diagonal with karate chop motion and leave your hand in one place. And then with your right hand, whenever you want to jump, you strike diagonal in the other direction, so you're karate chopping. That's so much fun.
That sounds awful already.
It's so much fun.
Dude, you,
but I actually
down the road, your wrists are going to be seriously fucked up.
I actually owned a Sega Activator when I was in West Point, New York.
You've told Something about the ceiling.
Tell me. I don't know the story.
Basically, we bought an activator. It was the only thing I wanted for Christmas one year. It didn't work because we had a light in the ceiling right over our TV.
Mm-hmm.
But I kept that activator all the way up through college, and I tried it in every place we ever lived because we were in the Army. We moved every 3 years. There was always something wrong with the ceiling that I couldn't use the activator. Either there was a popcorn ceiling, or it was a sloped ceiling, or there were exposed beams, or there was a light.
That's terrible.
Why didn't you make a big, like a tent?
I guess I could have, theoretically. The ceiling height had to be between 8 and 10 feet.
Okay.
It had to have been flat, and it had to have been white, non-reflective paint.
Oh, hey, just get like a white sheet or something like that.
Yeah, spray paint it, and you're good to go.
The activator.
Sean's not a redneck. Duct tape that shit up there. Boom, you're good to go.
That's true, Sean. Where was the redneck in you?
I guess not.
Dude, I would have made that shit work.
Anyway, the answer is activator.
No, it's not. Heat force.
Apparently one of you is wrong.
And it is Sean. Blue, you got a question for us.
Alrighty, since I was mentioning Street Fighter Alpha 3 earlier, how about you guys tell me which of the following characters was not added to the game?
The activator.
damn it, that's a correct answer. Son of a bitch!
Wait, is that true?
The activator never was in the game.
Oh, well.
So
no,
technically,
I mean,
it is
that's
correct.
The answer. God damn it.
Okay, tell me which of these characters was not added during Alpha 3 Max and the GBA port of Alpha.
I'm not telling you shit.
Was it A, Eagle? Was it B, Yoon? Was it C, Maki? Or was it D, Evil Ryu?
I'm going to go with Yoon.
Maki.
B.
Hawkeye.
The correct answer is Evil Ryu. He was already in the game. He was already in it on the PS1.
Oh,
a trick question. I hate trick questions.
Was there ever an evil Ken?
Ken's
already evil.
I think there was an evil Ken. I think it was Violent Ken in...
Violent Ken, yeah.
It was in SNK versus Capcom. It was a Street Fighter game that SNK made.
Oh,
yeah, I remember that. I did not enjoy
that game. It was SVC Chaos or something like that.
Okay.
Yep, we had that at my arcade, and we were always bummed that it wasn't Capcom versus SNK.
We're good.
Anyway... Thank you for that.
Correct answer, Guile.
No, Guile was in there.
I know. I just threw that out there. Well, I don't know. Then Charlie started taking over for a few years.
Yeah, and Charlie got killed off by Bison or something like that. So I guess he...
No, what actually happened was he fell asleep on his face and that little point in his weird bang thing stuck through his eye.
No, I thought they killed him off because cosplayers couldn't get their hair like that.
Probably.
It's like, we're gonna have to kill him off.
Yep.
You know, can I just say, I love how much crossover there is between anime and video games, and not just with us, but when I was at the Comic-Con in Denver, what is it, NondisCon? When I was at NondisCon, I loved
Hentai-Con.
All of the... What?
Hentai-Con.
No, yeah. Not Hentai-Con. But I loved
Julie
it all...
Julie and Tentacles.
No tentacles, guys.
Be grown-ups. It is cold in Denver.
You know, I'm fine. Never mind. Fuck you guys.
All right. Tune in next episode to Sage finishes that story.
Fuck you.
We got some questions, guys.
Gimme. Oh, should we answer the questions from this week and last week?
No, because that part, I think, actually survived.
Okay. Yeah. Word. So, questions?
Hold on. I just lost them.
Oh, Jesus.
They were that
Joe
good.
Kerr asks, so what do you think about the entire IGN and G4 staff making an appearance in the next Dragon Age, also Mass Effect?
Those must be some really comfortable money hats.
Oh, stop. They're, you know what? We just talked to TPD about this. I would not be surprised if they realize that having these internet celebrities in games is lucrative. I mean, you figure they got to model these people up anyway, right? Why not model up people you recognize? If they play bit parts, why
but
not?
That's the problem. In Saints Row, it's kind of funny. You know, you see GPD. That's cool and all. But Mass Effect is a lot more serious. And if I see Jessica Chobot or I don't know who else is going to be there, that's going to take me out of the game.
I guess. But, I mean, in Mass Effect, I see Sarah from Chuck, and that doesn't take me out of the game.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it depends partly on how serious the game is and partly on their personality. Like, Nathan Fillion as Malcolm Reynolds can fit into Halo because it's people fighting in space. So even though it's and Halo's not super serious, but my point being that even if Halo was more serious, he would still fit because contextually he would fit as that character. So I think it's both. It's whether the game is super serious and whether that would take you out of the game and be distracting, or whether having that character in that game sort of helps expand the idea that there's this whole other universe and, look, this character is in this game, and it, like, creates a reality out of that fantasy. That is cool if it works. But if it's distracting, then I agree. I think it's a problem.
I don't know. I always have a problem with movies, and I think the notion is called intertextuality. It's like when you see a famous star, when you see Tom Cruise and he's trying to be dramatic, you think of Tom Cruise's past roles, you know? And one of the reasons why perhaps I like indie films and smaller actors is because they don't come with that baggage. You don't.
Yeah, I saw Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, and as soon as Benedict Cumberbatch comes on, I'm like, eh.
Yep.
Sherlock
Holmes, yeah.
Yeah,
I think, though, part of this, too, is we've gotten to the point, technologically speaking, that when people model a person from scratch, they're hitting the uncanny valley a little bit harder than they used to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now that we actually do facial scans and L.A. Noir was such a big deal and all that stuff. And I do think that a cheap way for them to get actual faces and actual actors is to do little, hey, IGN and G4, if you guys will come and lend us your faces and your notoriety, and then, you know, we'll do some sort of advertising deal with you. We don't have to pay more actors to come in because it's sure. part of this big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think what people want us to say is boo on IGN because now I can't trust their review of Mass Effect 3. But let's be honest, you don't need to review Mass Effect 3. It's going to get 9s and 10s because it's a fucking Mass Effect game.
But then you move it out of what if other games did that? What if Never Dead? What if Morgan Webb's in Never Dead?
Well, then...
then we have a question.
Then the question becomes if everybody else gives it a 3, but then IGN gives it a 10, then you can complain about that, but... until that happens,
it gives it a 5 out of 5.
Yeah, until something like that happens, I don't think that that's really a valid judgment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Reginator asks, I'd like to hear Nola's thoughts on comic properties would make good games. What?
Not the Watchmen.
Not the Watchmen. No, that was a dumb idea. Yeah.
Definitely not.
But I actually, my go-to answer for this is usually I'd like to see a Captain America game done in the style of Uncharted, set in 1991 with Diamondback in it. I would love to see that game someday. But I actually gave this question a lot of thought, and I came up with a game that I actually really would like to see. So imagine, you can close your eyes and imagine this.
I'm imagining.
A non-canon Spawn game, right? Mm-hmm. You start out with a prologue, where you're not necessarily Al Simmons, but someone like that character, you know, sort of a chaotic neutral kind of guy, or chaotic mm-hmm. good or whatever. You make some decisions in the prologue, and you always end up dead, and you always end up as Spawn. And then you have the timer from when Spawn was originally conceived. And you have a big open world, and because you're just kind of dropped into it, you have a bunch of different objectives, you know. Just like any other open world game, you've got, you know, one plot thread that has you leading Malbogia's Army of the Darkness or whatever. You've got another one that has you going against it. You have another one that goes, you know, you protecting your former family or any other number of plot lines, but you've got that timer, and everything you do takes up time. And, you know, your timer is going at different intervals based on how tired you are or what you're doing or all that thing. So you don't have time to do everything. So it's an open world game that only has multiple endings because there's only so many things you can accomplish. And the idea is make it short enough that you play through it multiple times. And I think
so, like
that,
a Marty McFly, you got to do something before time runs out kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah. So basically it'd be like, you know, you can go down this one path and you can do things on, you know, on your way there. But every major move you make, you know, like every time you use a suit power or something, shortens your time a little bit. So you basically have to make choices on, you know, very micromanaged levels as well as broad spectrum sort of levels. And I think that's one example of a comic book license that would lend itself to a very unique kind of game as opposed to saying, I want this game that I already like, but I want to have Captain America in it.
Right.
I think Todd McFarlane has tried many times to make games out of that character, and sometimes it works, but it never... You can tell he's someone who has a deep appreciation for video games, but doesn't necessarily understand them.
Speaking of which, I played Green Lantern, and it's clear somebody said God of War. Let's make a God of War game with Green Lantern.
Yeah, oh, the game is better than the movie.
Probably.
Yeah. Not saying much. I think, and let me answer this, and I've said this before, why is there not a good Iron Man game? I mean, Iron Man's such an awesome character. I mean, you're basically a flying tank.
I feel like it's hard to make an Iron Man game because he is, for the same reason it's hard to make a Superman game. It's hard to make you feel that powerful without making it boring.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy in a suit as opposed to, like, an invincible man, though.
But he is,
you know?
I mean, like, in the comics and in the movies and stuff, there's always Iron Man gets hit with a giant-ass missile and takes the hit and gets knocked to the ground, and he gets up and goes, oh, man, I'm hurt. And then his suit goes, 10% power, danger. Oh, my bad, it's 100% again. You're cool, Iron Man. You're good. Stuff.
Well, some creative license in that he's not as powerful, you know, as he would be. You could weave that into the plot line, you know, for one reason or another. But I just think, like, I don't know, he's got those weapons, and I think Superman didn't work because his weapons aren't as visible, you know, like strength and those type of things and the ability to fly, and I don't know, they're not as tangible.
Superman games suck because he has a health bar, and, like, unless there's kryptonite, I mean, the guy shouldn't be dead. I mean, he should be able to take, you know, anything you can throw at him.
Right.
And unless everything is, like, tainted with kryptonite, I mean, it should not hurt him. Superman does not need a health bar if there isn't any kryptonite around. That's
injected.
Superman is the lamest hero ever, by the way. Yeah. Lamest in the whole world.
I mean, I'm more of a Marvel guy anyway, but I just don't understand the appeal of Superman.
Because he's American. He represents all America. He's the immigrant, red, white, and blue, everything.
But he's an alien, for one, and for two.
Yeah, he's an immigrant.
So you guys aren't in on all this. And one of the things that happened right before the New 52, and they wiped out all of continuity, but one of the big controversial things was Superman denouncing his American citizenship.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That happened.
Ugh.
Kick him out.
Ugh. Yeah. Oh,
so the Predator drones. after.
Superman, I think, for me personally, the best Superman portrayal was in Superman the Animated Series from the 90s. Because they made him, like, absolutely crazy powerful, but there was always the slight chance that, like, this giant robotic arm that Lex Luthor was controlling was actually going to crush Superman. And every single punch on that show, you go back and watch this, every single punch that Superman ever laid on anybody sounded like it absolutely would shatter anybody's face if it hit a normal person.
Well, I think one of the things that I thought could have always been cool about Superman was the way they write Spider-Man and Captain America generally, well, less so Captain America these days, but it's always, you know, these are people with a lot of power that choose not to act on that power. And with Superman, it always just seemed more about his melodrama. You know, with Captain America, it's always, he's, you know, just one punch away from killing somebody who honestly deserves it, but that's not his way. You know, same with Spider-Man and with Captain America, or not Captain America, with Superman, it's always just like, I'm a crime fighter, but oh, my love life and oh, my ideologies, oh, it's so, oh, but I gotta go kill that alien over there and maybe move the sun. I think that's something he did at some point, but I don't know. Superman, what are you gonna do?
Fuck him.
He doesn't even wear red underwear anymore.
What a dick.
Yeah. So if you'd like to see twit pics of us wearing red underwear, you can follow us on Twitter. Robert no. Allen is tech _gaming. Little T. Sage is Samurage. Blue is Blue Swim. And
I'm not wearing red underwear in my profile picture, but I am a Christmas tree.
Wearing blue underwear. And I am Sean Nola with two N's that stand for Necrid Nightmare. See, I brought it all together because we mentioned Soul Calibur at some point and Todd McFarlane. So
I see.
If you'd like to read about stuff, I don't have my thing to tell you what we're going to read about. Oh, if you'd like to compliment your listening with a bit of reading, might I suggest checking out www.tech-gaming.com for the latest reviews, editorials, and weekly new releases. Also, make sure to check us out on iTunes, which is probably where you're listening to this right now. There are two Tech Gaming podcasts on iTunes. One of them is current, and the other one is not. You should subscribe to both of them, because our old stuff is hilarious.
Yes,
Also, like us on Facebook. And in real life, because I'd be sad if you didn't.
You're just thanking me? I thought you had a question
no,
for me.
Thank you for being a friend.
Aww.
Travel down the road and back again. Your heart is true.
Screw you.
You're a friend and a confidant. Sage?
Jimmy, yes?
If you had a party and invited everyone you knew, you would see the greatest gift would be for me. And the card attached would say, Blue, thank you for being a friend.
Wait, your card to me at my party would say, Blue, thank you for being a friend.
I don't want to thank you. You threw this party and invited all these other people.
What the fuck?
You know what? You've got all these other people at this party that can thank you. Blue, poor Blue, he's sitting over there in the corner. Nobody even wants to talk to him.
Hey! I'm quite popular. Probably because I'm making an ass out of myself. Yeah, but I'll still be popular!
But these are all Sage's friends. They're all lawyers and actors.
I don't have any friends that are lawyers or actors.
You know what, Sage? We don't want to talk to you because your friends are all douchebags. I'm leaving. It's okay, Blue.
We're going to go watch the Phoenix Wright movie or something.
Yeah, we're going to leave this stupid party of yours, and I'm taking my present back.
Boy, am I glad I got something I knew I'd like, too. That way I can gift it right to myself.
I hate you both so much.
I'll talk to you guys later.